About today, understanding kingdom authority. Say authority.
Authority.
Say kingdom.
Kingdom.
We're going to be exploring the idea of kingdom authority. And Lori, if you could cue the first slide when you're ready, I'd appreciate that. Praise God. We're going to explore the idea of kingdom authority and how it relates to the new covenant. Amen. Now, if you remember last week, just to reflect a little bit on what Pastor Jay was preaching on, he was talking about prayer, if you remember. He was talking about entering into the presence of God in prayer, being refreshed, coming into a place of intercession in prayer that is a place of refreshing. Praise God. And I just believe, I just trust today that this will be just a continuation of what the Lord would have us here with regards to this, and understanding authority when we pray, and understanding specifically what kingdom authority is and what covenant means, what the word kingdom means. We're going to delve into that today, and we're going to, you know, just remember the preaching from last week. If you're here, if you weren't here, there is a CD available. Please avail yourself to get that CD. Also, Pastor referred to specifically Jesus Christ being seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now remember, he ascended when he was crucified. He also ascended. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And also, Pastor mentioned last week, we are also, from the book of Ephesians, seated with him in heavenly places. Now, how many know that's a place of authority? A throne is where a king sits. And where a king sits, he ordains, there's authority from that throne. When a king is sitting on his throne, he's sitting in a position of authority. And how many know we have been seated with him, as was preached last week, and I see those raindrops coming down, the latter rain. Amen. In Jesus' name. So we're going to discuss specifically on the slide, what does the word kingdom mean? If you go to the next slide, Lori. The word kingdom is made up of two words, king's domain. It is the territory or area over which a king rules and reigns. The king's domain, from Kevin J. Connor. Next slide. The word kingdom in the Greek means royal, power, dominion, rule. The territory subject to the rule of a king. Now, a king has absolute authority in his kingdom. It is not a democracy. It is not a republic. We have a republic form of government. You know, from the newscast, you understand that we have a president, and the president can't just enact anything that he wants to. He has to go through Congress, and we understand that. We have a representative form of government, but the government of God is a kingdom government. Amen? It's a kingdom government. Praise God. Next slide. The definitions of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is the reign or rule of God, whether in heaven or on earth. It is the purpose of God, the extension of God's rule, to extend God's rule, if you will. There's a little typo there. It is the purpose of God to extend his kingdom. How many know when you get to heaven, it's the kingdom of God, right? Praise God. Well, God wants to extend his kingdom on the earth. We're going to find out what that means specifically, to extend his kingdom or to spread his kingdom. We're going to understand a little bit about the authority of a king. How many know we've got the King of Kings living on the inside of us? If we've got the King of Kings living on the inside of us, we might have his authority. We do have his authority. In Jesus' name, we're going to illustrate that with the Word of God today. Next slide. Properly, the kingdom over which God rules, the rule of God, the absolute rule of God. Praise God. Next slide. Sovereignty, royal power, dominion. The kingdom of God is the sphere of God's rule. Now we're going to ask you to turn to Daniel. I think I did ask you to turn to Daniel chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 28. We're going to begin here. You can do one more slide. In Scripture, the term or terms kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are used interchangeably. So when you see kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, you'll know it means the same thing. Literally, the domain, the dominion, the rule of a king, namely Jesus. Amen. Praise God. First part I want to talk about specifically, and I believe it's crucial to understand with regards to authority, that humility plays a huge part. How many want our leaders to be humble? Any leader that is humble will promote you to want to follow him, or will want to, you want to hear what that leader has to say, because they're not trying to lord it over you. They're not trying to force you to their opinion. Praise God. Okay, Daniel chapter 4. Now this is Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going to find out how, through humility, he came to know the kingdom of God. We're going to start in verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12 months. He was walking about the royal palace in Babylon. He's walking about his palace. He's, you know, in his robes, perhaps. And the setting is, you know, the palace is a place where there's splendor. At the king's throne, there's the splendor of the kingdom. In Jesus' throne, there is his splendor as well. So Nebuchadnezzar's walking around this kingdom, or this throne room, this palace, the royal palace. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" That's pretty haughty. That's pretty haughty. "While the word was still in the king's mouth." So he's speaking this word, and he's walking back and forth. He's saying, "Man, isn't this kingdom of Babylon awesome? Look at what I've done to build this kingdom for my glory and for my majesty." So he's lifting himself up. Clearly, pride's somewhere in there, definitely in his heart. "While the word was still in his mouth, a voice fell from heaven, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. Seven times shall pass over you until you know the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses.' That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws." So here's a guy going from 1 minute in this palace of Babylon, just glorifying himself. He's just speaking about how great Babylon is. And look at my great majesty. Look at my great, look at what I've done. Look at everything. And God is going to humble him right now. And he drives him out. Now listen to this. Listen to what happens in the upcoming verses. This is amazing. "And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me." He wasn't a man of understanding before. When he was walking about his palace, he's walking about in pride, just walking about and just exclaiming his great glory. How many know when we give anybody else glory but Jesus Christ, we're not walking in God's understanding? We're not walking in proper understanding. That's why humility is the key to operating in kingdom authority. Praise God. He's a king. He got humbled. He got humbled pretty quick. Moving on, it said, "His understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion," or his domain, "is an everlasting domain." Say everlasting. Everlasting. That's an important concept as we get into this teaching, to understand that his kingdom and his dominion is an everlasting kingdom. "And his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the nations of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven." Say army of heaven. There is an army in heaven. Now we are God's army. We are God's soldiers. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, we're to take upon ourselves the armor of God. Now let's understand this principle when it comes to authority. When a soldier has command of an army, he has a lot of power under his command. Now God has got this authority in heaven. So he's talking about the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At this time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles restored me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the kingdom of heaven. What happened here? My goodness, there was a transition that happened. There was a transformation, I dare say, in the life of Nebuchadnezzar the king. I mean, he was glorifying himself, and then he got humbled. He's literally eating grass in the field. He's out in the field like a cow, eating the grass. His hair's like the eagle's feathers. His nails grew long. I mean, he was humbled. That's from the palace of a king to groveling. And God, and it says, his understanding returned to him. Then the glory of the kingdom, when he recognized the glory of the King of the universe, God in heaven, then authority was given back to him. How many know when we recognize God as authority over us, then we will also have authority to operate in our lives? I just want to share with you something, a brief excerpt from The Coming Restoration. This is a book by Brother Kenneth Hagin. And he writes, "Christ is the head of the church. We are the body. You know, your head cannot exercise any authority except through your body. So Jesus is not going to personally exercise any authority on the earth except through his church." Praise God, we're going to understand, we're going to enter into a level of understanding of kingdom authority and how it relates to covenant and how it relates to the King of Kings on his throne. As Pastor had mentioned last week, he is seated at the right hand of God, so we are now seated with him in heavenly places. If we get the next slide. This is from the book of Philippians. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Next slide. "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah to God. That'll preach you happy. Praise God. He's got authority. But what did he do? Notice the similarities between what the Lord did, except the Lord didn't have to go through what Nebuchadnezzar did. He humbled himself willingly. So we also must humble ourselves and look at the level of authority that every knee should bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue should confess. Now we're in the King of Kings and he's in us. So his authority, if we will humble ourselves and confess him as our Lord and Savior and just actually allow his kingdom, kingship over our lives. I want to say that again. Allow him to be the absolute ruler of your life. And in order to do that, once you get into a place of humility where you recognize that it is not by my strength, but God inside of me doing all that I do for his kingdom, you're going to rise up to a new level of authority and you're going to be a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Praise God. All right. Going back to Nebuchadnezzar, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Amen. Praise God. Kingdom authority is new covenant authority. Kingdom authority is new covenant authority. I want to just take us to the next slide. Before we get into this, we're going to discuss covenant. We're going to define covenant. We're going to lay the terms and definitions. And we're going to, by the Holy Ghost, I believe we'll lay the foundation of this authority that we have as a believer, Jesus Christ, and how we can extend the kingdom of God on earth through the covenant that Jesus Christ paid for with his precious blood. Amen. Now listen to this. This is Romans 5, 17 through 19. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace, his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship. Say right relationship. It is important to know and understand that when we exercise authority, we are in relationship with who? The King of Kings. When you entered a throne room in a king's palace, you were privileged. You had a privilege. Perhaps not everyone would enter in a normal earthly kingdom, the king's throne room. But we have access, we're going to get into that later, to the throne of grace, where Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. We have privileged. Say, I have privileged access. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I've got access to the King. Praise God. Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Praise God for that new life. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person, Jesus Christ, obeyed God, many will be made righteous. This is from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Now remember, Jesus did this first by humbling himself. By humbling himself. Next slide. Covenant definitions. The first is called the Old Covenant, from which we name the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament. The Latin rendering of the word is covenant. The second is called the New Covenant or New Testament from Smith's Bible Dictionary. The words covenant, definitions, together, a meeting or agreement. This is very important. In theology, the covenant of works that implied the commands, prohibitions, and promises of God. The promise of God to man, that means perfect obedience, should entitle him to happiness. This do and live, that do and die. How many know that we can't measure up to the law? We can't be perfect. But there was one man who came, the God-man, who humbled himself and lived and didn't sin and fulfilled all the requirements of the law. And we are in him. Next slide. The covenant of redemption. This is the new covenant. We're going to discuss the new and better covenant. This is why it's a better covenant. How we couldn't do by works what Jesus has done himself by the cross, by reconciling us to himself in this new and better covenant. The covenant of redemption is the mutual agreement between the Father and the Son, respecting the redemption of sinners by Christ. So this is an agreement between God the Father and God the Son. This is vital to understand because we're going to understand another terminology today or attempt to. It's called the terminology of a high priest. Jesus Christ is our high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. But further on, we won't get into that till a little bit later. The covenant of grace is by which God engages to bestow salvation on man upon the condition that man shall believe in Christ and yield obedience to the terms of the gospel. We just have to yield to Christ. We're part of what's called the initiated, the ones who are born again. We have been birthed into the kingdom of God. It is the new birth that gives us this kingdom right, and Jesus paid the price for it. Just all we have to do is believe on him. We have to believe on him and yield obedience to the terms of the gospel. Next slide. This is getting into regards we're going to get into specifically, how to manifest heaven on earth. Did God ever ordain the manifestation of heaven on earth? What does that mean? That sounds like a terminology that's could be way out there. Well, let's understand what the Word of God says with regards to heaven on earth. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, holy or hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is, next slide, in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Notice in the Our Father, he said, Thy domain, kingdom, dominion, rulership, come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will, thy kingdom, thy will, thy kingdom, thy will. Your will is the kingdom. Your will is the kingdom. God's will is to establish his kingdom, his domain, his authority. The kingdom of God is inside of us. When we receive Jesus Christ, his domain or dominion or authority over us, because we are yielded to him, dwells in us. We have given our lives to the King of Kings. And he's made an agreement with God the Father, because we're going to talk about an agreement related to the word mediator. The word mediator pertains to a specific definition, but with regards to what we're getting into here, it's talking about the manifestation of heaven on earth. I just want to reference something here. Back on the men's retreat, about 3 months ago, we were sitting and I was praying and we're by the fireplace and the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said to me, son, do you know what the atmosphere of heaven is? And how many know the Lord already knows the answer to all the questions anyone could ever ask? Lord asks you a question, if you believe it is from God, it's for your benefit. I said, Lord, what's the atmosphere of heaven? And he said, the atmosphere of heaven is love. For my word says, God is love. And you know the song, this is the air I breathe, your holy presence living in the inside of me. And then the Lord began to speak to me and said, just like the atmosphere where you're in now, you're in an atmosphere, you have air to breathe. We recognize that it's rather warm in here in Jesus' name. Or you might be cold, I don't know, but I'm a little warm. Anyways, you recognize there's drips coming down from the roof. This is the atmosphere. It's recognizable. It's understandable. We understand it with our senses, our physical senses. But there is a spiritual atmosphere, an atmosphere of the love of God in heaven. That's why it's paradise. But you know what the Bible says? That his love is shed forth abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we have the atmosphere of heaven on the inside of us. I want to say that we have the atmosphere of heaven on the inside of us. Thy will be done on earth as it is heaven in heaven. Heaven's on the inside of you. Heaven's on the inside of you. So he's saying, in this manner, therefore pray. It's not saying repeat that prayer over and over and over and over again religiously. It's a framework. It's a guideline. It's an outline. This is the way to pray. Father, your will be done on earth. Your will be done on earth. How is it in heaven? How is it in heaven? Heaven is filled with love. You're filled with love. Heaven is where Jesus is seated and in authority. You have authority because you're seated with him in heavenly places. Thy will, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Must be his will is to establish his kingdom. What does that mean? That means the person that you're witnessing to, the person that you're witnessing the gospel to, you're praying for, you're believing God for, the person you're praying over, believing for heaven's manifestation of healing, which Jesus Christ already paid the price for. That person, all of heaven's authority backs you up. The authority of the King of Kings is on the inside of you. The authority of Jesus is on the inside of you, and he wants you to use that authority to establish his dominion, his kingdom. He wants people getting saved. He wants people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants people getting healed. He wants to reach the world with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he sends you forth, he sends you in kingdom authority. He sends you personally. He sends our church corporately. We have a huge impact on the area of Rotterdam, Schenectady, and this capital district just by being a church. Because God has established kingdom authority in this house, in this room, in your body. And he wants you to use it. He wants you to speak it out. He wants you to pray it forth. He wants you to lay hands on the sick, for they will recover. Praise God. Exercising new covenant authority brings heaven's results. Next slide. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued, remember what Pastor preached on last week. He preached on prayer. He preached on entering into the presence of God. Remember that. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. When you pray the Word of God, you pray in the Holy Spirit, you pray according to God's will, you can expect God's authority if you're praying what? In the name of Jesus to back you up. Not only does heaven's authority back personally, Jesus Christ is our mediator of a new covenant. He's our go-between. It's an agreement, remember, between the Father and the Son. Remember that? Yeah. Next slide. Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied the rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. Praise God, Elijah prayed. When you pray, you can expect Bible results, because God has placed his kingdom authority on the inside of you to manifest what's already in heaven. Jesus, what did he do? He paid the price for our sins. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he poured out his blood on the mercy seat of God. What does that mean? There is a real mercy seat of God. When he was crucified, he poured out his blood on that mercy seat for our sins in the real heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven to earth manifestation. What is heaven to earth manifestations? Is there Bible examples of that? Yes, the birth of Jesus. The establishment of the church. The second coming of Christ is a heaven to earth. He's coming from heaven. He came from heaven. The Holy Spirit was given to the church where? From heaven. From heaven. We are seated with him where? In heavenly places. Where is he seated? At the right hand of the Father. In heaven. We have heaven's authority. Now, when we pray according to James chapter 5, we have the right to expect that God will move heaven to bring us the answer to our prayers in Jesus' name. When we're praying according to his will. We got to get excited about that. You know, when we pray and we believe God and we're interceding, it's not just a prayer that goes to the ceiling and comes back to you. It's a prayer that's given in authority. Because you are a believer who has been given authority by the one who has the authority, who sits at the right hand of God in authority. So you now move in authority in the same way you are seated with him in heavenly places. In whose authority? The king's authority. It's the king's authority. And his authority is absolute. It's absolute authority. It's not maybe. It's not could be. You know, it's not possibly. When you pray according to the word of God and you expect God's results, God moves. God moves. You need to expect that. I'm not talking about expecting with an understanding of the finite mind. I'm talking about expecting with the understanding of faith. Faith. Next slide. Pray at all times, on every occasion, at every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of the saints, God's consecrated people. To that end, keep alert, keep watch. And there's the word that I want to get into right now is persevere. The enemy attacks your diligence. The enemy wants to wear you down. He wants to wear you down. He wants to, in your prayers, he just wants to say, hey, you know, just give up. Just give up. You're not seeing any results. That person you're praying for, look at him. Lost as he's ever been. He's worse now than he was before you start praying for him. Look what's happened to him. Or her. Or whomever. Now, your eyes are not fixed on who you're praying for as a result, but your eyes are fixed on the Word of God. We got our eyes fixed on the promises of God and operate in the authority of the kingdom. He'll move heaven to earth. He'll move heaven to earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He'll move heaven. He'll establish. We've got a covenant with him. Praise God. There's a Hallmark bag here. Must be Pam's. Praise God. Okay, next slide. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, this is where Jesus cursed the fig tree. Remember, he's walking by, Jesus walking by this fig tree, and he's looking for fruit from this fig tree. And he curses it. He says, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Say, have faith in God. When you pray, have faith in God. When you speak the word of God, have faith in him. Why can you have faith in him? Because he's given you the authority to do so. You are now a believer in Christ. You have access to the throne of authority, which is his grace, the throne of grace. Next slide. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatsoever he says. Now, what is he talking about? Authority of the word. Now, I'm not just saying speaking on anything that you want. You know, I want $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $4 million. No, I'm not saying that. You can believe God for his provision. But what I am saying is when you are confident of the authority, you are confident of what the authority promises, which is what is in this book. When you operate in confidence in his authority, you are forever growing in understanding of the Word of God. And as you grow, you'll exercise that authority by how? Speaking the Word of God. Praying. Why? Because heaven backs you up. Say, heaven backs me up. You know, you're not alone. So many times we as believers, we feel like we're alone. We feel like we're just plugging away, you know. How many felt that way? You're plugging away. You're going through life every day. You're doing the same thing that you've done. And, you know, maybe something new. And you're doing your job. And you're fighting the good fight of faith. You're trying to do all that you know how to do to stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. You're trying to do. But the enemy's attacking your perseverance. But where you come now is to the Word. To gain strength. And when you come to the Word, the Holy Spirit will provide you strength and power that you may be what? The Scripture says in Ephesians, strengthen in your inner man with the strength that Ephesians talks about. That comes from the resurrection, the knowledge of His resurrection, the authority that comes from that. Praise God. Next slide. Now, when he concluded his sayings, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Next slide. Then Jesus went with him, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man, listen to this, placed under what? Authority. Having soldiers, remember that concept? Soldiers, we read that in Daniel. Soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. I say another, he comes, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does that. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. Amen. What are we talking about? Faith in the authority of God. Yeah. What did he recognize? That he had authority. He knew that Jesus had the right, the power, the will to do for his servant what he wanted done. But he recognized the authority, and to such end that he had faith in it. Do you see faith working with authority? You see how that works? Faith, let me say this. One of the confidences of faith is the authority that God has given us. One of the confidence, when we have confidence, and the Bible talks about having confidence, it's knowing the authority that He's given us and the authority that He has. So what did He say? I'm a man who's got soldiers under me. I got people under me, Jesus. You know, so I tell them to go and they go. I tell them to do this and they do that. Man, I understand authority. Just say the word. Just speak the word. I'm saying to you now, He's spoken the word to you. He's spoken the word to you. Let that get on the inside of you and attach your faith to it so that when you speak the word, heaven's results happen. Heaven's results happen. Because all the authority of who He is as the King of Kings has been launched out of your mouth in faith, believing God. So when you pray, believe that what you receive and you'll have whatsoever what you say. Authority. Authority, kingdom authority, established authority. If something is established, it's firm, it's solid, it's not moving, it's not going to be taken away from you. It's established in your heart, inside of you, at the throne of God, in heaven, at the right hand of the Father. Established authority brings heaven's results in an invasion of heaven to earth. Jesus invaded earth. Jesus invaded earth. Now, I just once liked to have a weather forecast. Where the weatherman gets up, well, there's a high and a low coming over across the country. You see this big L and an H coming over. But I just once liked to hear a God weather forecast. Well, there's clouds coming over the Midwest. That's glory clouds coming over the Midwest. Shekinah, mostly Shekinah glory over the nation. Mostly God's power in this nation. Mostly God's grace in this nation. We ought to have a weather forecast in Jesus' name. When we exercise authority, we're going to say, guess what? The grace of God is coming upon this nation. Mostly the grace of God tomorrow in Jesus' name in my life because I have the authority. Now, the weatherman has information. He knows what the weather's going to be based on computer models and his study of meteorology. We have authority because we know the Word of God. We have authority because we know the Word of God. Begin to declare it, and you can declare, I'll tell you, tomorrow in your life is victory. Tomorrow in your life is joy. I see in the forecast for this church, the peace of God reigning in our hearts. How do I know that? Because the Bible says so. He's given us His peace, His joy. Heaven to earth, heaven to earth, heaven to earth, heaven to earth inside of me. Heaven to earth's authority inside of me. God's authority, which is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God in heaven. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. Heaven's authority, kingdom authority established on earth. Next slide. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce a release to the captives. You want a weather for? There's a release to the captives in Jesus' name. And recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken, down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and, whoa, this is why I chose Amplified for this. Free favors of God profusely abound. Woo! Oh, you want to be encouraged. We can get in line with this confession. We've got this authority on the inside of us. We can say, yes, the free favors of God are going to profusely abound in my life because I am exercising faith in heaven's authority. Understand that it's authority. Authority. He's got authority to say this to us. It was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. Jesus quoted this prophecy and said, now it's come to pass. Here come the free favors. Here come boldly to the throne of what? Favor. Favor. Authority and favor working together bring about God's results. Authority and favor. And I see our sister Jean here. I don't want to embarrass her, but I just want to praise God. Because God healed her body. And I just want to rejoice in that. I hope she doesn't mind me saying so. God worked a miracle. There's no cancer in her body. There is no cancer in her body. You want to talk about authority from God. You want to talk about what God did in His Word. What He did by sending Jesus. We'll demonstrate it. This is why you're dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. He doesn't want you to know this. He wants you to just be in fear, doubt, and say, oh God, I hope things change. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do this, live my life. Next slide. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. This is authority in the name of Jesus. We have been commissioned by God to use the authority of the name of Jesus. Next slide. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. Next slide. And Jesus, having come and spoken to them, saying, there was given to me all authority in heaven and upon the earth. Having gone on your way, therefore, teach all the nations, making them your pupils, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to be attending carefully, holding firmly to and observing all whatever things I enjoined upon you. And behold, as for myself, with you I am all days until the consummation of the age. Listen, look at what that says. All authority. Say all authority. Where? In heaven. There it is. You say in heaven. And where? On earth. It's not just one place. It's not just in heaven. Just so, well, Jesus, he paid the price. We're going to heaven. Thank God we're going to heaven if you're saved. Praise God for that. But what's he saying? On earth. Whoa. What does that mean? Praise God. I'm going to close here. This is what it means when the pastor says, it's my first close. Okay. Is there a next slide? There's no next slide. Praise God. I'm on my way. Woo! I want to understand, get you to understand one thing specifically with regards to apostle and high priest. The word apostle, the definition of apostle in the New Testament originally, the official name of the 12 of the disciples whom Jesus chose. Now, this is the key understanding here. To send forth first. To preach the gospel and to be with him during the course of his ministry on earth. This word also appears to have been used in a non-official sense to designate a much wider circle of Christian messengers and teachers, which we have just read. Jesus Christ is what? The apostle and the high priest. The high priest, I'm just going to read one scripture because I don't have time to read anything extensively on this, but I advise you to read the book of Hebrews to learn more about this, specifically starting in chapter 7, the role of Jesus as high priest. Jesus specifically is the high priest of our confession. He is the high priest of our confession. Jesus, in summary, in heaven, there was the Aaronic priesthood, which was the priesthood of the law, which that one high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year and gave the sacrifice. And when he went in, he had something tied around his leg, because if he wasn't right with God, he's dead. They had to pull him out. Pastor talked about that, I believe, last week. Now, that was an imperfect priesthood. What does that mean? That every year, Pastor talked about this, a continual sacrifice had to be made every year for the sins of the people. But Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He was the sacrifice. He was the one that rent the curtain in two. After he died, the curtain was rent in two in the Holy of Holies. What does that mean? He made a new and better way. And now he is our high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a priest that received the sacrifices of Abraham, the tithes of Abraham. It's recorded that he has no beginning. He's a type of Christ. He's a type of Christ. We have a high priest, a mediator, someone in heaven right now who's saying, when you pray in authority, he's saying yes by the covenant. Yes, yes, by the promises of God. He's granting you your requests according to his word. So he is up there mediating this covenant, being the administrator of the covenant. And he is able, because he was tempted in all ways but didn't sin, able to aid us. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he's able to aid those who are tempted now. But he never sinned. He is aiding us. He is helping us. He's in his high priestly ministry now in heaven. When we come to the throne, we're coming to his throne. And his ministry as high priest administers the promises of the new covenant and the provisions of the new covenant to us as believers. Amen. We have an apostle of our confession, Jesus Christ. Also occupied the office or the ministry of an apostle. Apostle means to be sent. What does that mean? He is sent over our confession. He watches over his word. And what does the Bible say? To perform it. His word does not come back to him void, but it goes out and it comes back and it performs that which he ordained it to perform. He sent out his word. You are his disciples. He is sending you in new covenant authority, in authority in the name of Jesus, as the mediator of a new and better covenant established on better promises. You can now go out and establish the kingdom because all of heaven backs you up in authority. All of heaven, every angel of heaven, man, the Bible says, the Bible talks about angels sent forth to minister to the saints or for the saints. But what they're doing is they're ministering according to the new covenant. We don't see them ministering, but when we speak the word in the spiritual realm, heaven invades earth. When you speak, you don't see it. Faith's the evidence of not seeing things not seen, substance of things hoped for. When you speak the word, when you pray the word of God, when you use the name of Jesus, heaven invades earth into the situation that you're confessing over, that you're believing for, and you can expect a change because all the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on the inside of you backs up what you're doing, backs up what you're saying, and backs up who you are. So now is the time for the church to rise up in this type of authority, in the type of authority that belongs to us, and take back this nation. Take back your loved ones. Take back your health. Take back your joy. Take back your peace. Take back your love, because the enemy's got no authority over it. You have covenant kingdom authority. Go forth in his name and establish it on earth. Praise God.
I'd like the worship team to come, and as I was seeking the Lord prior to this, I feel like we should offer prayer for the sick this morning. Now, I want to make sure it's clear, though. You know, Gene got one battle won, but there's more battles to be beaten here, right? And so let's make sure that's clear. She's got one battle, she got a victory in, but there's more battles, and we're going to be believing God with her on that. I want to make sure that's clear here, okay? And so thank God for a battle won, but how many of you know, let's keep fighting the good fight of faith, amen, and trust in God in that as well. But you know, the words